Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so are you ready to like really go deep on Costco?
I am.
We are gonna we're gonna dive deep into their latest financial performance. We've got a lot of sources to look at today.
Yeah,
we got their first quarter 2025 earnings call transcript.
Mm-hmm.
We got the 10Q filing, and we've even got a peek at their new executive VP's employment agreement.
Nice.
Courtesy of those juicy SEC filings.
It's like we got a backstage pass to Costco's inner workings here. Like we can see not just the raw numbers, but like the strategies and the priorities that are driving their success.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to unpack what's really behind these record-breaking numbers. Right. What's working for Costco? What are they prioritizing? And what does it all mean for you when you walk into that warehouse with your shopping list?
Yeah, well, let's start with the headline. Costco just announced a massive $60.99 billion in net sales for their first quarter. That's a 7.5% jump from last year.
Wow, that's a lot of giant rotisserie chickens.
Yeah, a lot of hot dogs.
But what's fueling this growth? Is it just new stores?
New warehouses definitely play a role. Yeah. They've added 26 since last year, which adds to their sales.
Okay.
But it's also about strong comparable sales growth.
Okay.
Meaning sales are up even in existing stores.
So it's not just that they're opening new stores and that's where the sales are coming from. It's like same store sales are also
listening. And get this, fresh foods and meat are leading the charge with high single digit and double digit increases, respectively.
So people are still loading up on their carts with groceries, even with inflation.
It seems so.
I guess you can't beat those Costco prices on bulk staples, and maybe those tempting samples are working their magic too.
Yeah, those samples get me every time.
Speaking of magic, let's talk about those membership fees.
Oh, yeah.
That revenue jumped a healthy 7.8% to $1.166 billion. Clearly, people are seeing value in that Costco membership, even with the recent price hike.
I know, I do.
Well, that's a good point. Didn't they just raise membership fees? Shouldn't that be impacting this quarter's numbers?
That's where it gets interesting. Due to something called deferred accounting, the full impact of that fee increase won't be felt until later.
Yeah.
It basically means they spread out the revenue recognition over the membership period.
Okay.
But trust me, that impact is coming.
It's coming. It's coming. A delayed reaction, but something to keep in mind. Now, I was digging through the earnings call transcript, and I noticed this fascinating trend. It seems like more and more people are signing up for memberships online.
Yeah, that's right. And it's actually leading to a slightly younger average member age.
Oh.
This digital shift is important because it shows Costco's attracting a new generation of shoppers, but it also comes with a slight dip in renewal rates compared to those who sign up the traditional way.
Hmm. So maybe those digitally savvy shoppers are a bit more fickle. Costco will need to figure out how to keep them engaged and coming back for more.
Yeah, I think so. It's a challenge they're aware of, and they're actively working to improve their online presence to cater to these newer members. But speaking of loyalty, let's talk about those executive memberships.
Oh, yeah.
They're really shining.
Okay, those are the folks who get the 2% cash back and those extra perks. I know a lot of Costco shoppers who swear by it.
Yeah, me too. Well, those executive members are now 46.8% of paid members, and they drive a whopping 73.1% of worldwide sales.
Wow.
That's a 9.2 jump from last year.
Those are some impressive numbers. It seems like that premium membership strategy is really paying off for Costco.
It seems so.
But what about profitability? I know they're famous for keeping prices low.
Mm-hmm.
Does that squeeze their margins?
That's a great question. We did see a slight dip in what's called core-on-core margins this quarter, mainly driven by lower margins in non-food items.
Okay, hold on. Core-on-core margins.
Yeah.
You lost me there. You break that down for us non-finance folks?
Oh, of course. Think of it this way. Core on core margins basically show how much profit Costco's making from its main products, excluding things like gas sales and membership fees.
Okay.
So a slight dip there means they're making a tiny bit less profit per item, but they're still incredibly profitable overall.
Got it. Thanks for clarifying. But why would those margins be lower? Are they cutting prices to keep things affordable for shoppers?
Exactly. They're strategically choosing to reinvest profits back into the business, particularly through price investments.
Okay.
They're prioritizing value for their members over squeezing every last penny of profit out of each item.
Right. So it's all about the customer experience.
Yes. And speaking of price investments, this is where that sneak peek into the new EVP's employment agreement gets really interesting.
Oh, yes. What juicy details did we uncover there?
Well, the agreement specifically emphasizes leading price investments with their Kirkland signature products.
Okay.
That tells us they're doubling down on their own brand to drive value and keep prices competitive.
It makes sense. Kirkland's like Costco's secret weapon, right? Yeah. They got everything from batteries to booze, and people love the quality and value.
Precisely. And by focusing on their own brand, they have more control over costs and pricing, which gives them a real edge in this inflationary environment.
It's like they're cutting out the middleman.
In a way.
So they're keeping prices down, they're building brand loyalty, and they're growing that executive membership base.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a winning formula so far, but what about the bigger picture?
Well, let's shift our focus to their global footprint.
Okay, let's see how Costco is conquering the world.
Costco's international operations continue to be a bright spot, even with a slight slowdown in comparable sales compared to the previous quarter.
So they're still doing well globally.
Yeah, they're not shying away from expanding their reach, with plans to open about 30 new warehouses every year for the next few years, and a big chunk of those will be outside the U.S.
So they're planting their flag all over the world.
Yeah.
But let's not forget about the online world. We saw a 13% jump in e-commerce sales.
Right.
Clearly, they're not just a brick-and-mortar giant anymore.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. They're embracing e-commerce as a key part of their growth strategy, but in a very deliberate way. They're investing in making the online experience smoother with things like better search functions and letting you see what's in stock right on their app.
That makes sense, especially with more people shopping online these days. But are they going all in on every new tech trend? I haven't seen that scan and go option at my local Costco.
They're definitely taking a more cautious approach to some tech trends, like they've acknowledged hearing from members about Stand and Go, but it seems like they're prioritizing solutions that enhance the member experience without sacrificing efficiency or potentially impacting jobs.
Right. It's like they're saying, we're not afraid to innovate, but we're going to do it in a way that aligns with our values and benefits everyone.
Mm.
But while we're talking about the bigger picture, there are some potential headwinds Costco needs to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that caught my eye in the 10Q filing was the mention of ongoing negotiations with the Teamsters Union.
Yeah, that's a crucial point, and something that often gets overshadowed by the dazzling sales figures.
Right.
Costco has built a reputation for treating its employees well, offering competitive wages and benefits.
Right. They're known for being a pretty good employer.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't these negotiations happening amidst a wave of increased labor activism and rising inflation?
Yeah.
That's got to add some pressure.
Absolutely. It creates a complex situation.
Mm.
The transcript emphasizes Costco's history of fair dealings with the Teamsters and their commitment to a fair and timely process.
Mm.
But we know that labor relations can be tricky, especially in today's economic climate.
Right. It's a reminder that even a retail giant like Costco isn't immune to the challenges facing businesses today. And speaking of challenges, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's feeling it. So how is Costco handling it?
They're walking a tightrope, trying to keep prices low for their members while managing rising costs throughout their supply chain. The transcript mentions that overall inflation across their merchandise was essentially flat this quarter, with a bit of inflation in food offset by deflation in non-food items.
So some things are getting pricier while others are actually getting cheaper. That's interesting. But are shoppers changing their habits because of inflation?
Costco is seeing some fascinating shifts in consumer behavior. They're noticing a move from eating out to eating at home, which explains those strong meat and produce sales.
Right.
But here's where it gets really interesting. They're also seeing what they call a bifurcation in spending.
Okay, now you're just using fancy words to make me feel lost.
Arr.
What does bifurcation even mean in this context?
Think of it as a split.
Okay.
Some members are still going for premium cuts of meat and higher-end products,
right,
while others are switching to more budget-friendly options.
Got it. So some people are still splurging while others are tightening their belts, but Costco's got options for both.
Exactly. That's their strength, offering a wide range of products at different price points to cater to various needs and budgets. It's all about giving choices and delivering value no matter your financial situation.
Makes sense. So they're juggling inflation, keeping those membership fees rolling in and going global. But let's face it, they're not the only game in town.
Yeah, true.
What about the competition? How are other retailers impacting Costco's performance?
Costco has an interesting approach to competition. They acknowledge it exists, but they tend to focus on themselves as their primary benchmark.
So they're like, we're not really worried about what others are doing. We're focused on being the best Costco we can be.
That's a good way to put it. They're constantly striving to improve their own operations, product selection, and the overall member experience. But they're not oblivious to what's happening around them. They recognize that new warehouse openings can sometimes cannibalize sales from existing stores.
Right.
Which is a factor they have to consider as they continue expanding.
Right. So it's like taking a slice out of your own pie.
Yeah.
But speaking of competition, the earnings call transcript mentioned some interesting dynamics in the pharmacy business.
Oh, yeah. That sector is undergoing a lot of disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually working in Costco's favor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Their focus on value and a smooth pharmacy experience is attracting customers who are frustrated with other options.
Okay.
It shows how a company can benefit from upheaval in the market by staying true to its core strengths.
So they're taking advantage of opportunities and adapting to challenges.
Yeah.
But let's talk about something that's been a hot topic in retail lately. Technology.
Okay.
Costco's always been more focused on that in-store experience.
Yeah.
But they're clearly making moves in the digital space.
Mm-hmm.
How are they striking that balance?
It's a delicate balancing act.
Yeah.
They're using technology to enhance the shopping experience both online and in their warehouses. We've already talked about their investments in e-commerce, their mobile app, and even those self-checkout kiosks that are popping up in more locations.
Right.
But they're also being selective about which tech trends they adopt, right? Like that whole scan and go thing that some other retailers are doing. They're taking a more measured approach, focusing on solutions that they believe truly improve the member experience without sacrificing efficiency or potentially leading to job losses.
It's a reminder that not every shiny new piece of technology is a must-have.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about sticking with what works while carefully evaluating new options to see if they truly align with your values and goals.
Precisely. And it's about listening to your members.
Right.
Understanding their needs and adapting accordingly.
Mm.
Which brings us back to that interesting trend we mentioned earlier, the rise in memberships sold through digital channels, leading to a slightly younger average member age.
Right. It seems like they're successfully attracting a new generation of shoppers who are comfortable with online transactions and digital engagement.
Yeah.
That's got to be crucial for their long-term growth.
Absolutely. It ensures a pipeline of future loyal members.
Right.
But remember, we also learned that these digitally acquired members tend to have slightly lower renewal rates compared to those who sign up the traditional way.
So how is Costco tackling this potential challenge? Are they doing anything specific to keep those digitally savvy shoppers engaged and coming back for more?
They're focusing on delivering a consistently positive experience across all channels, both online and in store.
Okay.
They want to foster loyalty and encourage renewals regardless of how a member joined. They're also using data and analytics to better understand member behavior and tailor their offerings and communications to different segments.
It's like they're trying to create a seamless experience where members feel valued and connected, whether they're shopping online through a third-party app or strolling the aisles of their local warehouse.
Exactly. And it's about recognizing that different generations have different preferences and expectations.
Right.
What works for a baby boomer might not resonate with a millennial or Gen Z shopper.
So it's all about staying nimble, adaptable, and forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Those seem to be deeply ingrained in Costco's DNA.
Agreed. And it's a reminder that even a well-established company with a loyal customer base can't afford to rest on its laurels. The retail landscape is constantly evolving, and success requires a constant willingness to learn, adapt, and innovate.
So true. Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
We've explored their record sales membership growth, global expansion, how they're navigating inflation and competition in their approach to technology, and even delved into those intriguing labor negotiations.
We have.
I think it's safe to say we've thoroughly deep dived into Costco's performance this quarter.
We've certainly uncovered some fascinating insights into how Costco is operating and what's driving their success.
Absolutely.
But remember, the real value of knowledge comes from understanding and applying it.
So what does all this mean for you, our listener? What can you take away from this deep dive into the world of Costco?
Here's something to ponder as you head to Costco for your next shopping trip. With their relentless focus on value, strategic investments in growth, and impressive ability to adapt to a changing world, is Costco on the verge of becoming an unstoppable force in retail? Or are there hidden vulnerabilities that could threaten their dominance? That's the question we leave you with as you continue your own exploration of the fascinating world of Costco. Well, remember that 10Q filing we were looking at?
Yeah.
There's a particularly interesting section, 13th Amendment, to their credit card agreement.
Okay.
It gives us a glimpse into how Costco's using this partnership with Citi to drive value for both themselves and their members.
Okay, let's break it down. What jumped out at you?
Well, first, it's clear that Costco is focused on making this card even more rewarding for its members.
Okay.
They're planning to enhance the loyalty program, specifically boosting rewards in popular spending categories like gas, restaurants, and travel.
So they're paying attention to how people are using the card and tailoring the rewards to match those spending habits.
Exactly. It makes the card more appealing and encourages people to use it more, both at Costco and with Citi, but there's more. The amendment also highlights how closely Costco and Citi are working together. They're really focused on integrating the rewards program seamlessly with Costco's systems and checkout process.
So basically making it super easy for members to actually use those rewards they're racking up.
Exactly. They're all about removing any friction points and making the experience as smooth as possible.
Right.
And here's a subtle but significant detail. Costco is shifting towards giving rewards in the form of gift cards rather than checks.
Interesting. What's the logic behind that?
Well, think about it.
Okay.
A gift card keeps those dollars within the Costco ecosystem.
Okay.
It encourages members to come back and spend more, reinforcing that sense of loyalty.
It's like a closed loop of Costco love.
Yeah.
They reward you for spending.
Yeah.
You use those rewards to spend more.
Exactly.
Make everyone happy.
Exactly. It's a clever strategy and speaks to their focus on building a sustainable business model that benefits both the company and its members.
Yeah, so we covered a lot of ground today.
We did.
Record sales, the power of membership, global expansion, navigating inflation, staying ahead of the competition, strategically using technology, those labor negotiations, and now the strategic brilliance of their credit card program. I think it's safe to say we've thoroughly deep dived into Costco's performance this quarter.
Yeah, I think so too.
So where do we go from here?
Well, I think the big question that we need to ask ourselves and for our listeners to think about is, you know, with all this success, is Costco on the verge of becoming the undisputed retail king, or are there hidden challenges they'll need to overcome?
That's a great question. And I think that's something that we're all going to have to wait and see and watch as things unfold. But for now, I think that's a wrap.
Sounds good.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.